Mr. Tomasz Tóth, the Secretary General of the Latin American Hungarian Union. Good day, Tomasz.
Good morning.
So please tell us, what are your activities in the cultural relationship between Latin America and Hungary?
Well, I think before speaking about activities, it's good to speak about why we exist. First of all, we are here in Hungary, as you may well know that, and Latin America is very, very far away, and not just geographically, but it's far away mentally, culturally, politically. If you look at, let's just take one example, the network of Hungarian diplomatic embassies in the early 90s, we used to have 10 missions, 10 diplomatic missions in Latin America. For the time being, we only have 4. One in Mexico, one in Cuba, and in, properly speaking, South America, only 2 in the giant Brazil and in the neighboring Argentina, which is obviously not enough for Hungary as a country. So we are kind of helping out here, the official Hungarian representatives, with our very special means. So like 2 years ago, a decision has been taken, very much supported by Mr. Balog, an important businessman in Hungary, to create an association to help improving ties, to bring black people closer from the region, from the Latin American region, and Hungary. So that's what we are engaged in.
And so you're a partner with the Foreign Service of Hungary?
No, no, not at all. That was just an example where, well, okay, to some extent, yes, we are. I'm telling you another example. Half a year ago, we had I'm not going to tell you which country, but we had a visitor from a Latin American country. It was a lady, a deputy minister of foreign affairs, and she arrived on a Friday, and she left on a Sunday morning, and you know, official business hours finish at 2 o'clock p.m. on a Friday afternoon in Hungary. So we helped out Hungarian diplomacy, because our fellow diplomats, they were busy in other things, and the poor lady stayed alone. So that was Latimo who took her around. We showed him the city. We even organized him a meeting with the Chamber of Budapest Industry and Commerce. So in a way, yeah, we had them out. But we are a civil organization. That's an NGO, in the very true meaning of what an NGO can be.
So it's good that you can work with and help together with the government to take care of these relationships with the Latin American
country. Yeah, still the number one stakeholder from the Hungarian side is the government, although I told you how reduced our diplomatic presence is. As far as economic ties are concerned, trade and commerce and investment are, so figures are not that nice, but what we do realize is that Latin America is not just the subcontinent of the future, but this is the subcontinent of the present. If you look at the economic figures, how they managed to survive the crisis time, what we here in the highly developed, white Europe, we couldn't, so we envy them. And yes, we have to have at least one eye on them, why we are strongly attached to the European Union and to all the EU member states. But Latin America shouldn't be forgotten, and that's what we are working for.
Your voice says so much enthusiasm. What is your personal relationship to Latin American language, culture? What brings you to be in this position as Secretary General?
No surprise, you've been noting this. I used to be a career diplomat for 31 years, and I worked in different Latin American countries. I started in Brazil as a very low-ranking diplomat. I was there for 4 years, then I went to Argentina, then to Peru, and in Chile I became ambassador. So that was my first ambassadorship. The second one was in a different region in Asia. But during this decade and a half, I really learned to love Latin America. I like them. I like the people, the music, the food, the beaches, the nature, the jungle. So that's really very attractive, marvelous, and very not very well known here in Hungary. What we know about Latin America, you know, maybe the football, maybe Pelé, maybe the Iguazu Falls, and that's it.
Maradona.
Now Maradona, okay, for the time being, for the youngsters.
Well, you said Brazil and Argentina, you have embassies from Hungary.
So yeah, that's correct.
So I'm a native New Yorker, and salsa, Latin dance, and Puerto Ricans have been a tremendous influence culturally and personally on my family's life. And yo hablo español un poquito. Do you speak Spanish?
Sí, yo hablo español también, pero creo que es mejor volver al inglés. So I'm switching back to English. But speaking about New York, a couple of years ago, I was there and I made a mistake. I rented a car. And, you know, going to Manhattan with a car, but that's a mistake what only a foreigner can commit. So I was desperately driving around. And at the end of the day, I find a parking space there. And I went in and the guy was looking at me and I started to explain him in my humble English that I'm here because I didn't find any place and he didn't understand me. And then I realized, oh, how useful my Spanish would be, because obviously he was a Latino. So when I started speaking Spanish, I had a place, I had a discount. So it was really a very, let's say, warming up experience, that even in New York, in your native New York, how useful the Spanish can be.
Spanish was my fourth language, and I learned it in high
school. Congratulations.
High school in the Bronx.
Ah, that's good.
NL Bronx. So let's get back to the nuts and bolts, the meat and potatoes of the Latin American Hungarian Union. What are you doing to create this relationship, this bridge, to open Hungarians' eyes to what's happening, what you've experienced?
Well, many things. In a nutshell, first of all, we are very much supportive to all kind of activities what Latin Americans are doing here in Hungary. In any and every way, even financially. So whenever they organize a sale, when there's a cultural day, a concert, or the other way around, when a Hungarian university, an underpaid Hungarian university, wants to publish a book on Latin American history of the 18th century. So they turn to us, and of course, according to our possibilities, we are helping them. Another example, just in a nutshell, one of our volunteers went to Paraguay as a part of a bigger European NGO project to teach Guarani local people different useful things. And as I mentioned to you, sometimes we give a hand to the official people here in Hungary when Latin Americans arrive here. Well, Latin Americans, they have 7 embassies here, but important countries like Colombia, like Paraguay, they do not have it. So whenever they came over from Vienna, the resident ambassador is in Austria. We help them. We sometimes organize thematic expositions. One of our members is the co-founder of the so-called Flag Museum. So the Flag Museum gives his premises to expositions on Colombia and Paraguay, and these were the occasions when the ambassador came over, and we helped them in every way. So whatever comes up and if has some kind of connection to the Latin American Hungarian relation, we are ready to help.
I'm a hippie from the 60s, and I try to eat bio food anytime I can. And I noticed that some of your work is in environmental protection and supporting sustainable development. Can you speak on that?
Well, in very general terms, yeah, I can. I think that if you're a civil organization and if you are environmentally conscious, as we should be here in the center of Europe, look around, trees are going from Budapest, pollution is all over, and when you go to Latin America, in spite of killing the jungle, in spite of having no industrial standards appropriate and so on, but this is still a place where nature exists in its very original form. So, of course, we are for the protection of nature.
What have the Latin Americans given to the Hungarians in this relationship?
Well, I could rather speak about what Hungary gave to Latin America. So, or to the American continent, one of the founders of one of the most prestigious American military academy. It was a Hungarian who fled from the country after fallen revolution in the 19th century. But if you look at the national anthem of Uruguay, it was composed by a Hungarian. And unfortunately, and that's the sad part of the story, many Hungarians left the country over the last century and a half for different reasons, and many of them arrived to Latin America. So in mostly in Latin American countries, there are Hungarian immigrants from a point of view, immigrants from the Latin American point of view, and they are having well-organized life. The good example is Argentina, figures what we have tell us there are around 30,000 Hungarians still living. They are organized in different clubs. Only in the city of Sao Paulo, there are double of that number. There are 60,000 Hungarians living. So we gave them a lot of people, a lot of knowledge, a lot of good quality, men and women to be part in the construction of what today the Americas are.
A few years ago, when they started the construction at Keleti Station, I came up out of the metro. I was waiting for the bus, and I see two middle-aged men with a map looking for directions, and I said, "Hi, fellows, you know, where are you from?" They said, "We're from Sweden." And I said, "Why do you come to Hungary in the fall when it's chilly?" He said, "Well, in 1956, 55,000 Hungarians came to Hungary, and within three
to Sweden.
To Sweden.
Yeah.
To Sweden, thank you. You're the diplomat." To Sweden, and within 3 or 4 months, they all assimilated, got jobs, started to do their work. Nobody asked the government for money, and we came here to see what kind of people you are from where these 55,000 people came from.
Speaking about Sweden, I can tell you the story of one of our honorary consuls. Though we don't have many embassies, we have a well-developed network of honorary consuls in Latin America, and one of them in Peru is a gentleman of Hungarian origin who, very young, in 56, went to Sweden, finished his studies there, ended up in Peru, became an important businessman. I know he's our honorary consul, so that makes a kind of triangle between Hungary, Sweden, and Latin America.
Could you speak about some of the other countries that you've been in, or maybe a little anecdote? You must have such an interesting life.
Well, you said you're the diplomat. I used to be, first of all. I'm not anymore, but it's not a big thing to be a diplomat. Just a little anecdote. I was working together with a lady ambassador from an Asian country, from Malaysia, and the lady loved gardening. She was an ambassador, and one day in Chile, the postman arrived and called at the door, and the postman said he had an important delivery for the ambassador. And the lady said, "I'm the ambassador." The Latin American looked at him and said, "No, you can't be." And the lady said, how come I can't be the ambassador?" And she said, "You're in gloves and you're dirty and you're covered with ground. You can't be the ambassador." So that's a very wrong, understanding what people have about diplomats. But anyway, language saved me several times. I speak both Spanish and Portuguese. So Portuguese was my original language. I studied Portuguese and French at the university, and I was specialized in Brazil. And luckily, I belong to the very low number of Hungarian diplomats who, as their first mission, ended up in the country what they had been learning. And so that was Brazil, and I really spoke well Portuguese. And first time when we went to Rio de Janeiro, you know, Rio was... is still and probably will be a very, very dangerous city, especially if you don't speak the language and if you look very European. Well, I didn't look that much, but I'm having clear eyes. I was tanned, and they tried to mug us at a corner with my wife. And when I started speaking in a well local Portuguese, they really somehow scared away. They went away. So that saved us. So like a story about how useful languages can be, even for a white guy in those parts of the world.
Tell us the reasons that Bolog Sándor has initiated your Latin American Hungarian Union.
That's a funny story. I met him. He met me more than 2 years ago, and we started speaking about the project that time he has been managing already for more than 5 years, and that's That's African-Hungarian organization, which is different in nature, because what they do in the African-Hungarian Union is mostly helping financially African people, assuring them proper medical services, helping them building up their schools, donating them means of transportation, and so on. And we started to speak about, and he was very enthusiastic how well that NGO was working with Africa. And he asked me what my opinion was, whether we could do something the same with the Americas. And I told him, well, we have to look at the Americas as two big parts, one, the States and Canada. Well, we know a lot about them, a lot of Hungarians, a lot of organizations, but from Rio Grande to Patagonia, well, that's a different story. That's an uncovered territory, and I could help you with that. And then we met again. We started to speak about it. We gathered some people, ex-diplomats, journalists specialized on Latin American issues, people who had been there traveling, people who like the music, who like the food, or people who just read stories about it. And so a small group of people came together one day and then decided to establish the association. So that's the story. But Mr. Balog is the initiator, and even today he's one of the biggest supporters financially of the organization. Needless to say, if something exists, it needs resources.
Would you talk to our many listeners out there and tell them how they might participate in assisting, helping, being part of this bridge between continents?
For those Hungarians, if they listen to us, if they understand us, our doors are open to everybody wishing to participate, paying a really low yearly maintenance fee as a membership fee. For those in the Americas, if they are interested, if they are representing NGOs or just normal people, if they are interested to build up relations with Hungary, or even if they are business people and they don't know the country, they have something in their mind and they say, could you help us looking around, just having your expert opinion whether that business possibility is viable or not in Hungary, we are more than happy to help.
Do you have any activities with youth in this,
in this project? We have young members.
How has it improved the understanding between Latin American cultures, Portuguese cultures in Brazil, and Hungarian culture, which is very unique and specific also? How do they come together?
Well, I think culturally our realities are not that distant. We don't know them, but not that distant if you look at what... But Latin American culture consists of two big trends, two big branches. First, the pre-Columbian era, which is, of course, different, which is maybe more interesting for the white folks. But what comes after Columbus arrived, they are descendants of Spanish and Portuguese. So maybe that creates a basis of common understanding. That's why we like the same food, the same wine, the same... feminine beauty and so on, and we appreciate the same culture. But whenever a Latin American group of interest, not necessarily a diplomatic mission, wants to show their culture in Hungary, comes to us, we try to help with the premises, we try to help to introduce them to the Hungarian population. And modesty apart, I think we had some successes in that activity.
As a professional, lifelong career diplomat, and now working with
in business
and business also, what could you philosophically, intellectually advise us in how to deal with the other? I come from America, which we have. I grew up in the 50s and 60s in New York, and every kid's grandmother and grandfather came from a different country and all over the world. And I see now, as in my 16 years in Hungary, more and more different people around.
You know, that may have historical roots. If you've been living here for 16 years, you must know that Hungary had a rather sad history all over the history. Hungary has been losing territories after the First World War, after the Second World War, and Hungary is located on the crossroads of history. So all the troops, all the enemies went through Hungary, which resulted in a single nation country. Mostly Hungarians are living in Hungary. I would say 90-some percent of the population are of pure Hungarian origin. We have some Roma population. We have some minorities from foreign countries. But if you look at the map, what happens that a considerable number of Hungarians are living around. So they were cut down from Hungary. That's why Hungary is just a nation. Most of the Hungarians are living here. And that it's a very good question, because what we have to teach to Hungarians that there are different realities, different people, different way of thinking about things, different solutions, but they are still the very same people, and we are in the adversity of being known. So that's what we try to do with our activities in Latimo.
Your enthusiasm is great. What, as a youth, motivated you to pursue these exotic languages, Portuguese, Spanish, and become a career traveler, businessman, diplomat?
Well, a diplomat is more than a traveler. A diplomat travels for official reasons. But what motivated me, I started reading newspapers when I was 13, 14, and my eyes popped up, oh, there's a bird outside, and I looked, how could I know that word? And I was not, I was rather gifted with languages that time, and with parental help, they tried to push me towards diplomacy, and as far as choosing Latin America, so that's not my choice. When we were admitted to that time to the university, was teaching international relations. The regime was a bit different, a bit less democratic in that Hungary than today. And I remember we were sitting around the table, and the lady came in, and the lady started asking us by the name. And she said, okay, so this guy, you will study Vietnamese and French, and you will have Vietnam as a specialty, and the other one, Japanese and English, and you will have Japan. So I was a bit concerned, but my name, Tote, is at the very end. And when it was my turn, she said to me, Portuguese and French and Brazil. I was happy about Portuguese, and I was happy about Brazil. I was not happy about French, because that time I started learning English already, but French is a good language too. So that's the story, how I... But I'm thankful to the faith that helped me to go to Latin America and to know the continent.